You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4, where we will continue on as we fast approach the end of Colossians, believe it or not. And we're going to stay on track. We are looking at this last section of Colossians 4, verses 7 to 18. And I mentioned to you last week, there's a whole lot of just kind of odds and ends, if you will, in respect to Paul kind of wrapping up the letter. He often likes to direct certain messages to specific people, and he does so here, and he gives greetings to people and just gives kind of some last thoughts. And so I thought, well, what would be the best way to preach this? And so what I came up with, so that we stay true to the text, is to kind of take this as one big chunk and then go through and kind of find, see if there would be some common themes throughout it. And indeed, there are common themes. So I kind of broke that down into a man-made outline, if you will, of five major themes that we said we would cover in four sermons. And we did our last theme last week, which was really about opening yourselves up to one another. And most of the themes have to do with one another's because Paul is dealing with other believers at this point. And so we talked about opening ourselves up and being opened with other, especially believers, and also that kind of transitioned into hospitality. How are you guys doing this last week on your hospitality? Okay, well, keep at it, okay? Keep at it. And this week, we said that our kind of theme, if you will, is this. Saints, that's you, believers, faithfully serve the Lord as well as one another. And so I'm not going to read the whole passage. We did that last week, the 7 through 18, just because of time here. We'll just kind of jump right in, but I'll show you the places in the text that we are referring to and drawing this out of. And so we kind of have two main points here with a few subpoints. And in terms of this first one, the first one is faithfully serve one another. And when you look down to verse 7 of chapter 4, we see Paul writes, "As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother, and right here, faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information." So kind of the key phrase there that we're looking at is this faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord. Now the second one, faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ because you are his bond slave. We see that faithful servant kind of applying to with other believers and fellow bondservant focusing more on Tychicus's relationship with the Lord. But today we're going to reverse them just because you can't very well faithfully serve one another until you know that you are faithfully serving the Lord Jesus by first being his slave, There was a man named Abraham Benninger. He was a Swiss boy from Zurich who came with his parents to this country on the same ship that brought John Wesley. The father and mother of the lad had both died on the voyage and were buried at sea, and he stepped alone from the gangway onto a strange continent where there was not a single familiar face. When he had grown to manhood, he asked to be sent to tell the story of the cross to the Negroes, the blacks of the island of St. Thomas, having heard of their great misery and degradation. When he arrived at the island, he learned that it was against the law for any person but a slave to preach to the slaves. It was the policy of the planters to keep the blacks in ignorance and superstition. Shortly after this, the governor of St. Thomas received a letter signed Abraham Benninger, in which the writer begged urgently to become a slave for the rest of his life, promising to serve as a slave faithfully, provided he could give his leisure time to preaching to his fellow slaves. The governor sent the letter to the king of Denmark, who was so touched by it that he sent an edict empowering Abraham Benninger to tell the story of the Messiah when and where he chose, to black, white, bond, or free. There was another story I came across that is a similar one of a Chinese man, Laf Phuc, a Chinese Christian who moved so moved with compassion for the coolies in the South African mines, sold himself for a term of 5 years as a coolie slave and was transported to Demerara, to carry the gospel to his countrymen working there. He toiled in the mines with them and preached Jesus while he toiled, till he had scores of whom he could speak as Paul of Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. La Fouque died, but not until he had won to the Savior nearly 200 disciples who joined the Christian church. Where in the centuries has the lowliest feature in the condescension of the man of sorrows, quote, he took upon him the form of a slave, been so literally reproduced here? We see these people who quite literally became slaves, slaves for Jesus Christ. And that is our first point. Saints, faithfully serve the Lord Jesus Christ because you are his slave. You are his bond slave. Bond just meaning fellow. And under this category, we have a few little subheadings. For instance, we see that we are fellow workers for the kingdom in verse 11. Verse 12, we're told to stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. And in verse 17, to take heed of and fulfill your ministry which you have received in the Lord. Now just go back to verse 7 again. Verse 7, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. Now, whereas a faithful servant goes with the beloved brother under the banner of serving each other, we'll show you why in a second, fellow bondservant in the Lord points directly back to Tychicus' relationship with Jesus. Obviously, this man's a believer, he's a Christian, but we might ask, well, what does this phrase bondservant mean, and is there a difference between servant and bondservant? And the short answer is yes, there is a difference in this case. And now, if you remember, I have dealt with this phrase bondservant previously in some sermons. I do believe it's a very important phrase that does bear repeating again and maybe again and again. And what I told you is this. The translation of the Greek word doulos to servant or even bondservant is not the best translation of this Greek word. That is the word that is used here when he says fellow bondservant in the Lord, this Greek word doulos. It just so happens that bondservant here in our Colossians passage has been translated from this Greek word. The word for servant, which is used right before as in faithful servant, is a completely different word. It is diakonos, which is one of six Greek words that is normally translated as servant. Doulos is not one of these six Greek words normally translated servant, but rather it is most commonly translated as slave. And in fact, in the NASB translation, slave always comes from this word. Now, I had planned to just kind of go in a little more in-depthly with you on that, which is actually reiterating some of even a sermon that we had done previously, but I'll hold off on that. And if you'd like to know more about the difference between these words, because it is an important one, we could summarize it like this. And again, I'd be happy to give you some more text to look at and whatnot. But in summary, lots of times some of our modern translations, going back to the King James translation too, they took this word doulos, which normally means slave, and they decided to kind of soften it. And a lot of it has to do with people's kind of perceptions on slavery. Even back then, when the King James Bible was being written, they had come out of the slavery of centuries before, the 13th century. It was pretty gnarly stuff, much like we associate slavery with pretty gnarly things. Slavery of the 19th, 20th, 21st centuries and whatnot. And so, you know, they thought, well, gosh, that's kind of harsh to say slave of Christ. So they translated it servant, which kind of softens it a little bit, which would be fine, except it takes away a lot of the impact of being a slave of Christ as opposed to just a servant of Christ. A servant of Christ, right, you have the ability to leave your servanthood. When we think of servant, you can be a servant, and you're usually hired as a servant. You could end your time of service. Slave, man, that's a done deal. You are a slave. You are a slave. And that is the way it is with Jesus Christ. We become slaves to Christ. And it makes sense when we look at the doctrine of the assurance of salvation, right? Because He keeps us. He keeps us until that future day of redemption. So, yes, once a slave to Christ, always a slave to Christ. But, of course, our slavery to Christ is not burdensome, as 1 John 5 talks about. Following His commands are not burdensome. And in reality, being a slave to Christ actually gives us great, great freedom. Exactly. So, like you said, we could talk a little bit more on that, but we're going to go ahead and move on today. So, we want to jump back to our text here. And what I would recommend to you, you might say, well, how do I know which is which? Well, then you have to go into our library there, and you have to get one of the reference books that we have that has something about the Greek word, and you can go through your Bible and see which time servant is translated from the word doulos. And every time it's translated from doulos, you can interject slave in there. Okay? I know you guys are going to rush out and do that right after service, right? Sure. So, as Paul refers to Tychicus as our fellow bondservant, are actually our fellow slave in the Lord, and also Epaphras as a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, isn't it interesting there that they use bond slave? They actually, it's the same word, doulos, but later on when he's talking about Epaphras in that section, down in verse 12, the translation is bond slave. It's the same Greek word, they just did it two different ways. Well, they probably did it there because Epaphras was in jail with Paul. So they probably, went ahead and used the slave word, but they got it right. Then Paul includes Onesimus and Aristarchus and Jesus, who is called Justice, as fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, verse 11. Meaning that these folks were Jewish converts to Christianity. Now we see them all working side by side for the kingdom. And we've addressed, what it means to be a slave of Christ, in that we've been bought with His blood by God to now be a slave to righteousness. And as our text says, also workers for the kingdom of God in verse 11. See that in verse 11? Fellow workers for the kingdom of God. And then Paul wanted a message also to get to Aristarchus when he says, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Archippus. That's in verse 17, not Aristarchus, Archippus. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This all falls under this banner of serving the Lord as His slave. So we can see from this text that these disciples, along with, the Colossian people of the church there that were being written to, they either were or needed to be slaves to Jesus, fellow workers for the kingdom. They needed to stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God, and they needed to pay attention to the ministry which was given to each one of them so that they could fulfill it. Now, we could ask ourselves, do we think this has anything at all to do with us? Or is this just for those disciples of Paul's day? Well, I would put to you that I think it's pretty obvious to say that all of this directly applies to us as believers here today. If it's good for them, certainly it's good for all believers everywhere, as well as the fact that we see these principles in other places in Scripture. But what is this all going to look like for us? If we're going to flesh this out and kind of apply it, what's it going to mean for us? Well, the first one's easy, in that if you are a Christian, you are a slave to Christ. That is what you are. And we've already looked at the Scriptures. Well, we haven't really, you can talk to me later on about, if you want further Scriptures, about being a slave to Christ. But if you're sitting there thinking, I know I'm a Christian, but you know what? I get to make my own decisions. And frankly, there are just some things that I don't agree with in the Bible. Well, at the risk of maybe offending some, you're probably not a Christian. You're probably not. Because if you are a true Christian, you became one because you believed the Bible to be the Word of God, because it's the Bible that declares the way to salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is set forth in the pages of Scripture. It doesn't mean that you knew the Bible cover to cover. It just means that you understood the gospel, which comes from the Word of God, and you repented of your sins and believed. John 5:24 has Jesus talking to some unbelieving Jews, and He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Well, secondly, if you are a true Christian, when you believed, you were born again by the Holy Spirit, and you were given the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit would make you a new creature with a new self, the old self having died and been buried with Christ, the new self having been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You are given a mind that is now able to be renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created you, also transforming you and conforming you into the image of His Son. You now will have a new desire for the things of God, including obedience to His Word, as we read earlier, 1 John 5:3, or we see in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. A love for God means we will keep His commandments. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Or John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Meaning that true love for Jesus means that we will be his slave. We will follow after him. We will follow God's commands, and your life will be characterized by your obedience to Jesus and his word, the Bible. Why? Well, because Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand so that we would walk in them." It's also why three times in Titus we're commanded to be ready for every good deed. This is obedience to Christ. This is being his slave. We're also told in Titus, engage in good deeds. And again, engage in good deeds in 3:1, 3:8, and 3:14. And in James, we're told to prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. James 1:22. Or Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. A slave to Christ will prove what the will of God is. So if these things are not characteristic of your life, you're not a slave to Christ. And if you're not a slave, you're not a Christian. Now, notice I use the word characterize, okay? It doesn't mean that we don't fall into sin. At times, we do. But the Holy Spirit is there to work on us, to help us to see our sin, to be sorry for it, and to repent of it. Why? Well, because as a Christian, we love God more than we love sin. We do. We love God's Word and His promises to sanctify us, to make us holy, to help us to grow more and more into the image of Christ until one day we actually get our glorified body and we never have to worry about sin ever again. Romans 8:29 to 30 speaks of this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become, meaning you will become, conformed to the image of his Son. It will happen. So that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, the future is, he also glorified. Again, it's a done deal. It will happen for a Christian, a slave of Christ. Okay, we got to move on here. So you're a slave to Jesus, or you're going to become one today, right? You're going to become one today by repenting of your sins and trusting Jesus and what he did on the cross to save you. And it's just praying that. She's saying, Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. I do believe that you died for my sins. I do believe you rose from the dead so I could have eternal life as well. And I'm ready to accept that free gift of salvation. Thank you. Man, you did that with a right and true heart. You are in the kingdom. You're a follower and a slave of Christ this very morning. Also, a fellow worker of the kingdom. A fellow worker of the kingdom is how we are a slave to Christ. What do we do as workers for the kingdom? Let me tell you, we could spend months. We could spend months on this subject. The Sermon on the Mount is all about what it means to be a kingdom citizen. Go back and read that. We could pull so much out of the scriptures for what does it mean to be a worker of the kingdom, but we need to narrow things down a little bit. And of course, we want to pay strict attention to what the Bible says. So let's do this. Take your bulletin. Open up your bulletin. Inside cover. Right here. Okay? We got our bulletins. And I don't know how many of you have ever read this, but we have a vision statement here for our church. And our vision statement helps us to guide our church and the ministry that we do here as workers for the kingdom. Our vision statement is distinctly biblical, even if we don't have the verse references right next to it. But it says this, vision statement, worshiping God, caring for one another, and reaching the community. So let's use this for being workers of the kingdom this morning, okay? Look at the first one there, worshiping God. Let's face it, human beings are worshiping creatures. We are. We were made that way. We will all worship something. The question is, what is it that we will worship? Romans 1 makes it clear that we will either worship God or we will worship ourselves and each other. The Creator or the creature. And this has been seen throughout history. And it seems, if you will, like we're in one of these periods right now with our society, one of these periods where people really are worshiping the creature. It just seems like that is just swelled up again. And, okay, what's the first commandment in the Ten Commandments? Right? Worship the God of the Bible. Worship no other. No idols, not anyone, not anything else. Jesus reiterates this in Matthew 22, 37 to 38, where he's actually quoting Deuteronomy 6, 5, when he says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment." That is number one. So in order to be a kingdom worker, I would put to you that you first have to, first and foremost, love God and worship God above all else. But here's the catch. We can love God for saving us, but I would put to you that your love for Him will not really start to grow until you start to learn about Him. We can know enough of the gospel to certainly be thankful and realize that God is true and Jesus is true and we need to repent of our sins and believe in Him and trust Jesus and what He did. But if we just stop and leave it there, we may be saved, but we're always going to be kind of that baby Christian. Do you want to grow and mature and be a kingdom worker? If you do, you need to now start getting to know this God that you are trusting a little bit better, a little bit stronger. And how are you going to do that? You're going to do that by coming to church. You're going to do that by going to Bible studies. If you're not in a Bible study, you need to get in one. I mean that from my heart. You need to get in one. Oh, we got a bunch right now. Or our Sunday night study, or you need to make sure you're fellowshipping with other believers, who will have godly conversations with you, about the Lord. And you need to be reading your Bibles daily. You need to be praying. All of these things. You need to read good books about God. You want any ideas? Come talk to me. We'll load you up. You need to continue to get to know who God is so that you can love Him deeper and deeper and become the best kingdom worker you can be, worshiping God. Number two in our vision statement, caring for one another. Caring for one another. Picking back up in Matthew 22, 39 to 40, about the two greatest commands, we know what the first one is. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Here Jesus is quoting Leviticus 19, 18. And then He goes on to say, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Meaning all of the commands from the law, the Old Testament law, the Mosaic law, and the prophets can be boiled down to these two things. Love God, love others. That's it, right? It's really simple. When you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are all about loving God, worshiping God. The last six are all about how we deal with each other, one another. So how do we love other people? How do we care for one another? Again, we could write books and volumes and sermon upon sermon about this, but it's really simple. We're going to make this really simple this morning. As you would want to be cared for. Going back to our vision statement, caring for one another, loving for one another. How do you do that? You do it as you would want it to be done to yourself. You turn around and do just, you know what, I'm not going to give you some big long list today. You're going to have to be smart this morning. You're going to have to think for yourselves. And if there's something good and positive that you would do for yourself or that you would want done to you, then you go and do it for somebody else. Right? It's that simple. It's that easy. I mean, if you want food, go feed somebody. If you think you might want some shelter, go help shelter somebody. If you want medical care, go help somebody out with their medical care. You know, if you want a few extra bucks in your pocket, you think, I'd like to have a few extra bucks, stop and go do that for somebody else. Go put a few extra bucks in somebody else's pocket. I made a list, didn't I? Sorry about that. But you get the idea. You have to continue that thought, okay? Continue on with that. Let's move on. Our third point in our vision statement. What's it say there? Reaching the community. Reaching the community. What's the number one way God wants this church to reach the community? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We might go back and oh boy, we don't want to add into Scripture, but we could include this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, including the great town of Weaverville, in the great Trinity County, in the great state of California, in the great country of the USA. Let's focus right here first. Yeah, we need to do it out and beyond, but man, let's make sure we're covering our bases in Weaverville and Trinity. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28. I'm not going to say anything more about this right now because basically we just spent 4 weeks on it, right? In our evangelism study. I'll simply ask you one question. How are you doing on it? How are you doing in the area of reaching the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many of you have shared the gospel, say, just in the last few weeks since we wrapped up that study? And if I was to really ask you to put your hands up, all of you should be able to put your hands up. All of you should. And if your hand wouldn't go up, then here's the deal. I'm going to give you one easy solution. There's a bunch of solutions, but then you need to come down to the soup kitchen next month where there is a host of people that need to hear the gospel. Okay? They are eating the food that you have prepared. Hey, they're obligated to listen to you, all right? There you go, right? You got a group of folks down there chowing down on some free food. You think they're not going to listen? Yeah, they'll listen. No, you come in there, you feed their bellies, and then you offer them the greatest gift that they could ever hope to receive. Jesus Christ. It's a package deal, just like with Jesus, right? Jesus, when he would present the gospel, what would he often do? Would he feed people? Sure. Would he heal people? Sure. But then he always gave them the gospel. He didn't do it apart from the gospel. The two were joined. Same thing with our soup kitchen, man. We feed their bellies, we feed their souls. We've got to do both. And the people are down there just waiting to hear it. So come on down. Tim, look out, man. You're going to have just a storm of people next month, all right? We need to not neglect their souls. What good is it to feed them if they die and their soul perishes in hell? Really? What good is that? Back to our text, serving the Lord as His slave. It also involves standing perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. Literally to stand firm, mature or complete, made complete in all the will of God. Friends, this isn't a maybe. This is a promise for those that are slaves to Christ, those that are of His kingdom workers. Remember Colossians 1:28. We talked about this previously. We proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete or mature in Christ. Or we could go back a little bit further to 1:22 of Colossians. Yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. This is all the believers' current standing, all believers' current standing before the Father in Christ right now, right? A believer is justified, blameless in God's sight, yet no believer has ever yet been able to attain that here on earth, that perfection that we look forward to in the future. Philippians 4:12, Paul says, not that I already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. So yet we are also promised in this certain day when each of us will be given our glorified bodies, that future day. And that is when we will be fully completed, fully perfected, matured in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 speaks of this when Paul writes, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved," your spirit, soul, and body, that's that glorified body, "be preserved complete without blame," meaning no sin, "at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This will happen when Christ returns. Romans 4:21, "and being fully assured that what God had promised, He was able to perform." So whatever God has promised, this will happen. Done deal. This was Epaphras' prayer for all of the Colossian church, that they indeed would be slaves of Christ, fellow workers of the kingdom, who are not just justified now in the eyes of God, pronounced not guilty in God's eyes, but who would also be perfected and matured in a future and very physical sense, receiving glorified bodies and living perfectly with Christ for all eternity, because this is the will of God for those that love His Son. That is an awesome thing, friends. And lastly, as faithful slaves of the Lord, you are to, as Paul was wanting to relay to Archippus, take heed of and fulfill your ministry which you have received in the Lord. Verse 17. In other words, we might say, pay attention and fulfill the ministry which was given to you by God. And you might be thinking, but I don't know what that is. I don't know what my ministry is to be. Okay, well, you got to figure that out. You know, we've said this before. What are your spiritual gifts? How does God want to use you for ministry? Hey, praise God. I want to again tell you. I mean, we saw just all kinds of people exercising their spiritual gifts this last week. Some were out in the forefront and they were seen by many. Others were in the background and they weren't seen by anybody. But they were exercising their spiritual gifts when this vacation Bible school went on here 5 nights last week. I mean, it was awesome. It was truly awesome to see so many people from our body serving and using those gifts to the glory of God. And I'm just using this as an example. There's a lot of ministries that go on here at the church that we could, you know, probably recognize. I'm just using this one because it's just, you know, happened this last week. But it was just truly a blessing to see. We had people serving as teachers. We had people evangelizing. We had leaders. We had helpers. We had crafty people. We had drama people. We had, you know, audiovisual people, games people, food people. Now, we also had these three security guys out front. I'm not exactly sure what they're doing, but I know they took a lot of donut breaks, okay? All right? No, I'm kidding. They were great help to us also. They did take a lot of breaks. No, I'm just kidding. They asked for tasers. Maybe next year. I don't know. No, we want people to come, guys. We want people to come. No, I'm kidding. I'm just teasing the guys. But we had people fulfilling these ministries that God had given them. These were ministries given to them by God, and they were fulfilling it, and praise the Lord. And again, we could go into this whole thing about your spiritual gifts, and not that that's not important, or for the time being, we could just say, pick something. Pick something that you think you might enjoy, or that you know, maybe have a gift for, that you see a need for, and just start doing it. I mean, just get involved. Just get involved. And if it works out, praise God. You know, that was one of your gifts. You know, and if not, okay, fine. So it doesn't work out. You find something else. You get plugged in. You do it. You keep doing that until you find what clicks. But you can be sure of this. The Bible teaches us that if you are a slave of Christ, you are a fellow worker of the kingdom, you have gifts. And God expects you to use them. He does. To use them for the benefit and the edification of others. And of course, then you get to benefit from the gifts of other people using their gifts. It's a win-win situation, folks. Now, our time is out, and it would seem that we've only covered our first of 2 points. Saints faithfully serve the Lord. The other being saints faithfully serve one another. Going back to verse 7 and Paul again with Tychicus, our faithful servant, meaning he was a servant to the brethren as well as God. We're going to wrap this up in about 30 seconds. You ready for this? I know you don't believe it. Oh, yeah. We are. 30 seconds for a whole point. You guys mark this down in your books, okay? This happened this day. So, How much time do we have? We're going to do this real quick. Go back and review what we said in our vision statement about caring for one another and loving your neighbor as yourself. And that covers point two, faithfully serve one another. Okay? Now, before we close in a word of prayer here, we actually have one tangible way. And it was just on my heart to announce it from the pulpit. There's a lot of needs that we have in church and whatnot, and ways we can help people. But here's one that just stands out. We all know, many of us know the Watson family, Dan and Darla Watson. And they were here for a time and haven't been for some time. And in any case, Darla had some surgery recently. They had to take her down to San Francisco. And I think she comes back. Does she come back tonight, Kay? Oh, Monday. She comes back tomorrow. Okay. You know what? I thought, I said to Julie, we need to take some food over there or something. You know, we need to come around this family. Yeah, we need to take care of each other in our church, and we do a good job of that, you know. And whenever we can look for ways to even reach out to people in the community, and I think that would be totally appropriate for us to do. You know, wouldn't that just blow them away if a bunch of us got together and brought meals over this next week just to help them out, just because we wanted them to know that we love them? So that's what I propose we do. Sandy's the one in charge of that. So if you would like to take a meal over to them even this week, or hey, if you know somebody else that needs some meals for that matter, you know, then talk to Sandy. But I think that would be really neat if we did that with the Watsons. We don't ask them, or we don't, you know, we just do it. We just do it and bless their socks off. Okay, all right. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. Oh Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, without it, where would we be? Oh, that just causes us to shudder. Thank you, Lord, that your word saves us. But thank you, God, that it sanctifies us and it teaches us and it grows us and matures us, Lord. Thank you for those here that are slaves of Christ, God. If there is anybody here that needs to be a slave of Christ, that needs to actually have freedom in Christ from whatever sin and bondage is holding them back from that, I pray that you would just touch their hearts right now and in such an extraordinary way, God. And that they, even while we're praying this very minute, would just pray a prayer of confession, a prayer of repentance, a prayer of Jesus, I'm sorry, I've been doing this all wrong. And I realize that you're the one that died so that I don't have to be going down this path. I trust you and love you and believe that you took away my sin on the cross and you resurrected so I too could have eternal life. I pray, Lord, that they would just be praying that prayer right now, even as we speak. That they would leave here, God, a slave to Christ, with all the freedom that ensues. Thank you, God, so much for your word. Thank you again for just this wonderful service and time of worship this morning and testimony. And, oh, Lord, to your name be the glory. And all those at First Baptist said, amen. If you have your